Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development that's located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. So today on the Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the pagan symbol of Yuletide that was adopted by the Christmas season that began with the winter solstice. In this show, we will discuss external symbols that are used to reveal the concealed deity. Listen as we explain the value of using matter and mind to remove the veil obscuring the perfection of being. What does time have to do with the timeless state of being? Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and be perfect. Swami, today's title of the show is Yuletide Perceived with Divine Consciousness. So before we really begin about talking about the divine consciousness, I want to just take a moment and just review the word Yuletide itself. And I got this from Wikipedia, and they say that Yule or Yuletide is a festival historically observed by the Germanic peoples. Scholars have connected the original celebrations of Yule to the wild hunt, the god Odin, and the pagan Anglo-Saxon Modranit. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. But normally what happens with Yuletide is it begins on the winter solstice, so this year would be December 21st, and it runs 11 days, so that would end on January 1st, 2021. In the dictionary, the definition for Yuletide is that it's an archaic term for Christmas. What's interesting, though, that I found out a little later on in my research is that Yuletide is a word that's used as a synonym for Christmas. However, Yuletide actually predates Christmas by quite some time. And then I spent some time researching the word tide. And in this instance, tide actually refers to a segment of time. And in this case, in Yuletide, it refers to the annual festival or the season of whatever festival you're talking about. And then one last bit of information I thought was interesting is the word Yuletide itself. It is much older of the two words, like I said, between Christmas and Yuletide. Its first half, Yule, derives from an Old English noun, and it's spelled G-E-O-L, so Geol, I think. Both Geol and its etymological cousin from the Old Norse, Jol, refer to a midwinter pagan festival that took place in December. So I think it's very interesting. We have a lot of our holidays rooted in these pagan holidays or festivals.
I think the reverse is also true, that a lot of Christianity is imbued with a lot of these pagan symbols. And Yuletide being a pagan symbol for winter solstice, which is the longest night, and let's say Jesus' birthday is in Capricorn, which is the zodiacal sign of Capricorn that begins the winter season. Winter in the divine sequence is the longest night. In Kriya Yoga, Capricorn is the feminine side of Muladhara Chakra, which is associated with the personal planet Saturn. Saturn rules Capricorn and Aquarius. The more you start to unbox a lot of these symbols, you really start to see that there's continuity in it. It's not just words in a book, but there's a reason for it. Muladhara Chakra in Kriya Yoga is the root center and associated with, like I said, the personal planet Saturn. In Christian Science, it could be equated with the term principle, or in Kriya Yoga as spiritual sense. Say, for example, from revelations in the Bible, it could be represented by the churches, because church could mean chakra, understood as the Lord's house or Lord's consciousness, which is existence. And what we really want to try and start to look at is how these can also be used to help us discover the obstructions to divine creation, this concealed deity that we talked about in the opening. And as a veil, it is the obstruction of time. Time that is found in a divided consciousness and is experienced as now and then. Most of this, when you really break it down in astrology, Saturn is considered to be Father Time. And what we really want to start to do is, rather than working just from the symbols and the sense level of all of this, we want to get beyond the obstructions and we want to get into this truth of being, uncovering the divine creation as opposed to just trying to figure out how the unreal became real.
Well, I think what was interesting in my readings is that, as you were saying, when Christianity came about and people were trying to minister to these pagans, they were taking their holidays and trying to, I guess, convert people to Christianity by using their own belief systems. So I just think that that's pretty interesting that these festivals and these beliefs have come a long way since they were originated. And way back then, during this winter solstice festival, the Yuletide, there was no gift giving. There was not that kind of a festival. It was more like living with your environment.
Well, for me, I don't really see them as coming a long way. I really don't think we've made huge advancement. We're pretty much trying to figure out that we haven't really gone all that far with them. In fact, maybe we've regressed. And maybe the whole thing of, rather than moving from a religious symbol to a spiritual symbol, we have regressed from a religious symbol to a stronger belief in matter and material beliefs.
Swami, what specific do you mean between the religious and the spiritual?
Yeah, I think a religious symbol really begins from a mortal sense and strives to improve it even until its very end. Whereas spiritual must begin with an immortal sense and it works to uphold it without an end. And even, say, for example, in Kriya Yoga, a lot of the material mental approach to life would come under religious because it's ritual, ceremony, ordeal, ascetic practice, things of that nature. It's finite, which must be overcome to attain spiritual identity, that we're actually employing these strategies, but to improve ourselves physically isn't the goal. It's to prepare ourselves to receive this light of consciousness that will reveal to us what is happening on a material, mental level isn't real. And it will show us this truth of our being, that we are an eternal spiritual being, that we are the expression of an indestructible principle, which is a very different experience. And so we make a distinction between what is religious as opposed to what is spiritual.
So religious would be coming from mortal mind or world mind, and spiritual would be coming from what we've been talking about all along is this divine mind, divine idea.
That's right. And what we're starting to see is that these holidays or periods in time were set up so that we could actually create the opportunity to see things differently, that we could move beyond the barriers, the veil of things like time.
Well, let's talk more about time, and I think we have touched upon this in previous shows as well. Why is it important for us to understand the nature of time and what it really means to us as a people?
Well, see, time is associated with mortality. And in fact, if we look at these seven chakras in yoga, we look at the seven churches in Revelation, we start to see that there are also seven obstructions that they talk about in Revelations, and time being one of them. And if we wanted to look at each chakra and the obstruction that is associated with that, you would see that there was time, space, thought form, matter, movement or activity, human will or desire, and personal sense or ego. We have to come out of these major obstructions. We have to come out of this belief that we are mortal, that we are finite, and at the same time, we have to accept that we are spirit. And spirit is all, that there is this truth that we have to know that makes us free from this belief that we are going to die.
I mean, all those obstructions you mentioned, they all seem to have important aspects in our daily living. But time itself, I think, is something that's going to be very challenging for us as we are governed by the clock. I mean, we're scheduled by the clock, and you know, we celebrate holidays versus the calendar. I mean, everything is based on time. So that could be challenging. How do you recommend that we kind of, you know, get us on a starting point and get through it?
Well, we have to start to come above corporeal sense. We have to start to think differently, moving from our five sense mind, moving from the mind that we have accepted that's going to get us through this experience. And we have to graduate to divine mind. And the only place that you're going to find that is in things like meditation as the seventh stage of yoga. That divine mind is before thought, and it is above corporeal sense, and it's absolute, it's whole. Mortal mind functions on duality, and it's a belief in matter. It's a belief in two powers, and it's the cycle of death and rebirth. We really want to come out of this, but if we don't have an understanding that there's a better way, and that's what we're trying to lay out here, is that this divine idea, this divine creation that is right here, right now, that doesn't report in our corporeal senses, is what we're trying to reveal. And that's what these festivals, in their origins, whether they were pagan or Christian, were there for. The whole thing of Yuletide and tidings of joy and comfort. All of this is really a way of turning us towards the divine idea as opposed to embroiling us into the comforts of this world.
Well, here's a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments.
Kriya Yoga Theory 1, Human Development and the 8 Essential Stages of Kriya Yoga. This program is a comprehensive course that will help you get your arms around the science of Kriya Yoga. It provides a clear understanding of the goals and objectives behind yoga, along with the physics of spirituality. It includes the practices, supportive concepts of Kriya Yoga, and the process in human development, apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine. A complete guide on how to become a human in the adult state. Get the light in your soul and experience the simplicity and joy of union with the divine. This course is available in live classes at the ashram or online with 8 videos or 4 CDs. Visit our website, www.ipdtransform.com, for more information.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, it does seem to me that the Christmas seasons seem to keep us more embroiled in this material world. So it may be really difficult for us to kind of turn away from that and live our lives with this divine idea.
Well, that's what you have to learn is it's a practice, that it's not just something that you want to believe in, like Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny, or even to believe in God. You actually have to take everything to this spiritual level of understanding, as opposed to just working with thought and belief, which is where we exist right now. But one of the things that you don't have to do is go too far to see that what we're doing isn't working. Look at where we are collectively, all behind masks, and we're all in fear of our quote-unquote lives because of some virus out there, which is in violation of spiritual law. So what's happening collectively really is a signal. It's you either believe that God is all or you believe in something else. But what we're learning is that if you believe that God is all and all is good, then there is no sickness, suffering, or death. That you really have a practical guide for highly effective living, and it's a demonstrable principle. That was the message of the Christ, was to heal the sick. Jesus came here to show us that God is all. And what we were calling his miracles was just him revealing this truth. And it externalizes as what appears to mortal sense as a miracle. But this divine creation, this divine idea is right here, right now, and it's accessible, but we have to come out of these false beliefs.
In the opening, we said that we were going to discuss the external symbols that are used to reveal the concealed deity. And as you were talking about masks, I was thinking just that. Don't the masks physically conceal our own deity within us?
Well, the interesting thing for me is that the mask is really put on because of fear. And fear is a defense mechanism for the false sense of who we are. That you're 100% right. It's concealing the truth of our being. It's concealing the belief in the divine creation, which is what we should be accepting as opposed to the belief in matter. That's why there are these seven obstacles: time, space, thought form, matter, movement, activity, human will or desire, and personal sense. That's everything that we are embroiled in, we have to forsake. And then we have to know this simple truth. So it's a lot more complicated than just some human advice here. And a lot of this really is going to require a metaphysical or a mystical system that you practice on a regular basis. Because you can't just say that I don't believe in sickness. You can't say that God is all and therefore I'm not going to get sick. This has to happen from the level of knowing, which means that we have to graduate from thinking with a mortal mind, mortal imagination, and come out of being controlled by world thought and fear and all of these human concepts and beliefs that we're socialized with, and then knowing that this divine creation is perfect, whole, complete, and it's right here. But you also have to know that it won't report in the mind that you have accepted to get you through this lifetime. That you're going to have to, the Bible says, repent, think differently. We have to graduate to thinking with divine mind. And like Mary Baker Eddy says in a paper that she wrote, Principle and Practice, the nature and position of mortal mind are the opposite of immortal mind. And then she goes on and she says, the so-called mortal mind is belief and not understanding. She also continues and she says, Christian Science requires understanding instead of belief. It is based on a fixed, eternal, and divine principle wholly apart from mortal conjecture, and it must be understood, otherwise it cannot be correctly accepted and demonstrated. And that's what we're working on here, is we're trying to learn what is it that she's talking about, because we need to accept spiritual identity. We need to understand ourselves in the way that we were created by the divine creation, which was whole. And we're looking at a mortal image that is being outpictured by a false consciousness that we're calling me and you. That's quite a bit to overcome.
Well, again, you had mentioned time a few minutes ago, so the big question in the summary is, what does time have to do with the timeless state of being?
Yeah, what does the mortal have to do with the immortal? What does corporeal sense have to do with spiritual sense? And the thing that I think is of the utmost importance is what Mary Baker Eddy said in Science and Health, that we must live above corporeal sense and correct it. Our five senses are really just here to be used by us to see if we are thinking right, if we are thinking with divine mind, if we are knowing this simple truth that spirit is all, or do we just think that we know it? Because if we aren't demonstrating it, if we aren't exercising dominion that was recommended in Genesis 1, rather than saying it doesn't work and shaking our fist at some anthropomorphic image in the sky that we're calling God, we have to go back to the drawing board. And in doing that, we have to start to see the difference between religious and spiritual. We have to see the difference between material, mental, and spiritual. And in Kriya Yoga, we balance what's called Ida Pingala so that we can access Shushumna, that you work with matter and mind until you master that, and then you create the opportunity that you can find that place where your thought is the same as the divine idea. And we do that in silence and in stillness, or as it has been recommended by people like Herb Fitch, who says, go to the fountain, watch, listen, wait. If you are in the right place at the right time, then you're creating an opportunity for yourself. Now what we have to do is capitalize on that. You can use time, but at the same time, don't lose sight of this divine idea, this changeless state of being, this perfection of being. And by keeping your mind aware and in constant relation with that divine image, you'll start to see it has a profound effect on this external false image that we call life now.
So, Swami, if time is our false sense, how do we get out of time?
Yeah, we have to live above corporeal sense, false sense. We have to accept that we are the eternal spiritual being, that we are the reflection of this divine creation. And then we have to learn a new language. That's the birth of the Christ. The Christ is the saving aspect of truth. It is what makes the divine creation intelligible to human consciousness. And so a big part of our practice is really making our mind an avenue of awareness for this spirit within. And we're not really going to fix anything, and we're not going to change anything. All we're going to do is reveal, uncover this divine creation, which is already here right now. And a big thing, like you're saying, is overcoming time, overcoming mortal sense. Because for mortal sense, there's time. There's here and there's there. There's now and there's then. So these barriers, time, space, are things that we start to develop awareness for spirit. Everything is here and now, and everything is whole and complete. We're accustomed to a belief in two powers, and we're accustomed to this linear understanding of what we call life. As we shift awareness from thinking, because the divine idea is before thought, if we shift our awareness above corporeal sense, and we now find that place where our thought will be the same as the divine idea, we will be out of the rational into the absolute. We'll be out of a divided consciousness into the unified state. And we'll see things because, like we said, in time, there's now and then. In truth, everything is now, the eternal now. Everything is happening at once, and everything is completely harmonious and fulfilled in this spiritual understanding of this truth.
So, I mean, earlier you had mentioned the word repenting, which means to think differently. And I know you always say, how we think is what we become. How do we talk about that phrase in relationship to time and the topic of our show today?
Yeah, well, we're starting to give new meaning to that statement, how we think is what we become, because we're still working with that. But we're also recognizing that there are modes of mortal thinking that we need to come out of. And we've talked about that. Gemini is the lower mind. Virgo is the mid mind. Sagittarius is the higher mind. These are the three modes of mortal thinking. They work on a belief in two powers, and they're under the government of karmic law because they're dualistic. Now, for us to graduate to Pisces, which is divine mind, the one mind, it's not a divided consciousness. We're starting to expand the word think, that you can think with a mortal mind, but with divine mind, you can only know. Mortal mind are thoughts. Divine mind are ideas, that it's a whole different mode of thinking, but we're using the same word, but by the same token, it's bringing you to a completely different level of understanding because you're moving from the mental, material level of awareness to the spiritual level of awareness.
Well, it is that time. We do have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on the homepage and you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio, you can click that. That directs you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And then don't forget by clicking on the products tab, then online classes, that directs you to all the classes that Swami has available. So, Swami, any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and be perfect. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.